Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here in the wee hours of the morning on Wednesday. I just got back from Pearl not too terribly long ago. We didn't have any bad weather, though, thank goodness. I know many of you are kind of dealing with that, and so we're sensitive to that. But no, we didn't have any bad weather. We got back. I dropped Jacob off. I came home. I have an ink therapy appointment this morning. And so I'm going to knock the show out. I don't know if we go the full 90. We'll see how things go. But I got to get up and go get some ink therapy done. And long overdue for that. And as you guys know, I'm always working on body modification. So it's what I do. But I did not want you guys to have to wait too terribly long to hear from me about the Governor's Cup game. So we're going to break that game down. We're going to look around the SEC. We've also had some football recruiting news in the last few days. I'll get you caught up on all that stuff. And we've got a kind of a tasty top 10. And we'll go pretty quick through that stuff. We'll go probably hour, maybe a little bit plus. But I just didn't want to wait too terribly long to kind of get this thing done. So here we are. It is just after 2 a.m. By the time we get done, it'll be after 3 a.m., I'll get a few hours sleep and then go get some ink therapy done and be back on Gene's page, produce some more content for you guys as quickly as we can. Be a lot to discuss this evening as the rains have come now that we're safe and sound at home here out at the Ponderosa. I want to thank you folks for your support of the Boneyard all these many years and your support of our sponsors, including Bulldog Burger Company. They have been with me for an incredibly long time, and I'm so proud to partner with them. I like to partner with people that have a code of excellence, their expectations in their daily activities. And that's what happens at Bulldog Burger Company. They take your enjoyment very seriously. You're their guest. You're not just their customer. They see it much differently than many others do. So I encourage you, frequent Bulldog Burger Company as often as you can. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. In addition to that, find your own favorites. I will have a smash burger at some point before we leave for Austin, Texas on Friday. So we'll do our best to get you guys a review of that sooner rather than later. You know, I've had the Black Label Smash, but there's another Smash Burger that's a little beefier. Yeah, so you need to go find out what all the fuss is about and get a Smash Burger at Bulldog Burger Company the next time that you frequent that establishment and get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's jump right in. Mississippi State and Ole Miss, man, when we first got down there, I wasn't sure we were going to get the game in. And I remember telling the bride, I said, I don't want to get all the way down there and then bang the game and us have to come hustle back during bad weather. We get down there, and the closer we get, the better the weather looks. When I first got there, they said, hey, you know, we may not start on time, but we think there's a window for us to get the game in. May have some interruptions. Turns out we didn't have any. We started on time. We got done without any interruption whatsoever, and so that was fantastic. So let's just go ahead and break it down, and how about the Bulldogs getting out early, right? But hey, that top of the first with Brennan Sweeney on the mound was a little bit of an adventure, but I thought Sweeney pitched it pretty well once he got through the first. He gives up a single to Dom Decker, and he was a guy that did a little bit against us when we were in Oxford. They've moved him up in the order. He hit a couple of home runs over the weekend against Georgia. He gets down in his count 1-2 and then singles back up the box and then still second on top of it. Becetta then walks, and he is a guy that has really been a non-factor against Mississippi State in all four games this year. He has had an incredible year against everybody else, but Mississippi State has kind of figured out the code with him. But he walks here. Then Judd Udermark strikes out swinging. Tough night for Judd. And somebody else told me, I haven't done my research, and he's had four at-bats this year against Mississippi State with the bases loaded and has absolutely nothing to show for it. He strikes out swinging here, and then we get this wild double play. Just when you think they're going to score, we get a ground ball to first. Blake goes to second, and then we double back to Brendan, who covers. And so we get out of it, kind of an unconventional double play, but two outs nonetheless. No score as we go to bottom of first. Garrett Fry, who has proven to be a very capable leadoff hitter for your Bulldogs, works the account full, gets ahead 3-0, takes the get me over strike, fouls the ball back, and then just kind of laces a single out there to left field, just kind of beyond the reaches of Randall, the Ole Miss shortstop. Reese then grounds out the second. It's a chopper. The only play is to first. So it works like a bunt, and it gets Fry to second. Sully then walks. Beavis then hits an infield fly to the shortstop, and it looks like they're going to get out of it. But then Jacob Parker, who has been red hot for the Bulldogs as of late, powers one through the right side. That chases Sully to third, and Fry scores to make it 1-0. And just when you think it's all over with, you think we got to get a little more out of this inning, we do. Bryce Chance, who at one point this year I think led the nation in two-out RBIs, gets an infield single, run scores, just a little tapper, just kind of right by the mound. It was a close play at first, but he beats it out. It's 2-0. Teal is then hit by the pitch to load the bases, and right here you're thinking we need to be a little greedy. We don't need to be satisfied with two runs. And Maluski just kind of hits a dying quail out there to right field. It drops, two runs score. It's now 4-0. And then Wires basically does the same thing. And you think that ball is going to get down. And if it does, it's 6-0. But instead, it's a diving catch from Udermark. But still, it's 4-0. And the Bulldogs are in great shape after one inning. Top of the second, Sweeney kind of finds it a little bit here, right? We get Pano to strike out swinging, then Topher Jones, former Diamond Dog, after a lengthy at-bat, goes down swinging. Randall then singles back up the box. We try to pick him off. We throw it away. He comes all the way around to third. You think they're going to score, but they don't. Reuter then grounds out the first after a lengthy at-bat. So the Bulldogs preserve that 4-0 lead as we get in a second. We'd like to extend here, and fortunately we do. Fry grounds out the shortstop, and then Ace takes the ball the other way. And again, same situation. Just kind of lace that thing over the outstretched glove of Randall for the single. Sully flies out to center. So we need something to happen here with two outs. Well, Blake Beavis just kind of passes to bat. He singles to left field. That sends Ace to second. And that ends up being it for Owen Kelly, who has been really good for Ole Miss in the midweek. He was not good tonight. Threw a ton of pitches. Waters comes on, and then Parker, again, singles back up the box. That chases the run home, makes it a 5-0 ball game. Bryce then flies out to right field. And so we're already starting to think, man, it's already 5-0. Could this thing be over in 7 innings? And with the weather pressing, we thought, man, that may be the best course of action. That's not what happens. Top of the third, Pacella, the nine-hole hitter, flies out to left, and then Decker gets on a fielding error by the shortstop. It's just a ground ball to Drew Wires, has to range to his left a little bit, a play that he should have made, and he boots it. It gets to Fry. The throw to first is not in time, but no harm done. Becetta then flies out to right, and Udermark strikes out swinging again. Again. Bottom of third, we'd like to extend here. Doesn't happen. Bulldogs go 1-2-3. Teal grounds out the first, who tosses to the pitcher. Maluski to the shortstop, and then Wires grounds out the first unassisted. Top of the fourth, we bring in Maddox Miller in place of Brendan Sweeney. And again, Sweeney really settled down after that first inning trouble. Maybe that's a good news development for Mississippi State. Will Furness then singles to left field. We had the shift on, but it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, he just kind of lined that ball in the left. And then Furness decides to take off on a downward angle ball. I mean, he's reading downward angle, reading this ball in the dirt. He takes off and just kind of stumbles and falls. They said something was wrong with the turf out there, but there was not. And they talked about, well, they came out there and attended to it. They really didn't. They just went up there and looked at it. Everything was fine. I don't know what happened. I continue to say that I think Will Furness is probably a G5 player. I know that hurts some feelings, but that's the reality of it. He's got that upward trajectory swing, and he really struggles would spin. Pano then strikes out swinging, makes it two outs, and then Topher Jones grounds out the ace. That ends the top of four. Bottom of fourth, they bring in Will Liberatt, the former Missouri pitcher, and a guy that did a good job at Missouri under some difficult circumstances, and did a pretty good job in this ball game, just kind of slowing things down for Ole Miss. Fry grounds out to short. Fry grounds out to short. Reese flies out to center. And then Sully singles to right field to kind of pass the bat. Beavis then grounds to the shortstop. They force the runner at second. So really nothing doing for the Bulldogs. Top of five. Ole Miss kind of puts a threat here together, but fortunately we're able to get out of it. Randall goes down looking, and then Maddox walks, Reuter, and then Pacella. That's the 8 and 9 hole hitters. So you got top of the order coming up. We bring in Peyton Fowler, who again has shown some real ability for State. He gets Decker to go down looking, lengthy at bat. We get down 3-0 in this count, work our way back, strike him out. Becetta's then hit by the pitch to load the bases, and then Udermark strikes out swinging. So, again, they leave the bases loaded. Udermark, again, striking out swinging. Just kind of runs out of bat. I mean, when you throw the spin away, he just has a difficult time recognizing spin. He is a very strong and physical player. He can hammer a fastball, but he doesn't handle spin well at all. All right. State goes 1-2-3 here in the fifth. Parker on down swinging. Chance lines out to right, and Teal goes down swinging. All right, top of six. We kind of manufacture some misery here. We get Furness to go down swinging, and then Pano strikes out looking. We're just kind of cruising along here. Everything is great. And then we walk Topher Jones, and that's we get a 2-2 count, end up walking him. No harm done, right? Two out walks for the devil. Then we get ahead on Randall 0-1, and then we plunk him. So now all of a sudden, we have manufactured some misery for ourselves with two outs. We have created a two-out rally for them. We bring in Billingsley, and I think the book on Billingsley is that he is either A starter or B, a reliever that needs a clean inning. When he inherits runners, for some reason, it just doesn't work out well, and we've got to learn from that. We get into a full count here, lengthy at bat. And at what point it was a 1-2 count, but it ends up being a full count. And then Reuter doubles to right center. And off the bat, we knew it was trouble. Two runs score. And then Pasella, the nine-hole hitter, is hit by the pitch. Decker then singles up the middle. That sends another run home to make it 5-3 ball game. And you're thinking, here we go. Here we go. We bring in Pitzer, who maybe wasn't quite ready. He walks Becetta. And then guess what happened? Judge Udermark struck out looking. Another strikeout for Udermark to lead the bases loaded. So 5-3, they did some damage there, but it could have been much worse. Bottom of the sixth, Maluski gets us going here. He singles to right center. Wires gets the bunt down, and that chases Maluski to second. So we got a runner in scoring position. We need to be able to bring that run around. Well, then Fry gets a single, and it's because bang-bang play at first. They ended up reviewing this, and to be honest with you, I was surprised we got a reversal because the replay that we saw in the box was basically a tie. And unbeknownst to many, the tie does not go to the runner at first. You have to beat the throw to first. Check your baseball rule book. You can fact-check me on that. But Maluski goes to third, so now runners on the corners, and then Reese flies out to left field, tag, and score. It's now a 6-3 ball game. So efficient baseball here by the Bulldogs. We left the big inning, but we just want to keep extending an answer back after giving up a three spot. We do. Sully then lines out to left field. That ends the inning. We go to the seventh. Will Furness walks. And then Pano grounds into a double play. Really, really, really nice play here. It's a 4-6-3 double play. And then Topher Jones pops up to the shortstop. So what looked like maybe a promising inning is over fairly early. Bottom of the seventh, they bring in Odom in place of Libert. Nice job for him. Gets Beavis to go down looking. Parker strikes out swinging. And then Chance pops up to the third baseman. So 1-2-3 for your Bulldogs as we go to the eighth. Stallman comes in to play first base. Burns comes in. And Dane's been pretty good this year. He's had one or two outings, a little bit shaky, but for the most part, he's been good. He was really good tonight. Randall grounds out to first. He tosses to the pitcher who covers. Reuter goes down swinging. They pinch hit Hayden Federico, who's a little bit banged up, and he gets on an error. He just kind of flies that ball out the right field, and I think Jacob Parker lost it in the lights. So he's on base. They pinch run for him, but then Decker grounds to the shortstop. We force the runner at second. That's it. Side retired. Bottom of eight. I thought off the bat this ball was gone. even though it was a muggy night, the air was a little thick due to moisture in the air, I thought this ball was out. It was off the wall, but he doubles to center field. It looks like Aiden Teal is kind of coming out of his funk, too. You know, he had a double off the wall against LSU and a home run, so he's starting to hit the ball with a lot more power. They bring in Koenig to pitch for Odom, and then Maluski greets him with a single up the middle. Wires then gets the bunt down, and I love the fact that we're still trying to tack on here because you can never have enough runs. It's basically a squeeze play. The bunt is down, and the throw hits Wires. So it ends up being an error. It's a sack bunt plus the error, but we get everybody on. It's now a 7-3 ball game. Fry, again, then gets a sag bunt down to kind of move everybody around. So now we have two runners in scoring position with less than two outs. We need to find a way to tack on. They walk Reese to set up a force at any base, and then Sully goes down swinging, and Stallman goes down swinging. You would have loved, listen, I know we won the ball game, but you'd like to be able to cash in here. Top of nine, very quick. Bassetta grounds out the second. Udermark flies out to center field, and Infernus strikes out looking on three pitches. That's ball game, and Bulldogs now 4-0 this year for the first time since 2019 against Ole Miss. And again, it was very much a team effort. Bulldogs pound out a dozen hits to Ole Miss's five. We even made three errors in the ball game, and that obviously was a factor for them too. But for the most part, we pitched around it. But again, the three runs they got in the sixth, that all came on a two-out rally that we started. We started it. And it is absolutely pouring here. Garrick Fry gets a couple of hits. Ace Reese has a hit. Noah Sullivan has a hit. Blake Beavis has a hit. Jacob Parker has two hits. Bryce Chance has a hit. Aiden Teal has a hit. Kevin Maluski has three hits. His first three-hit game as a Bulldog. Drew Wires goes 0-for-2, but of course had the big sack bunt there. So every offensive player contributed in this ballgame. Looking at the pitching numbers, Brendan Sweeney goes three scoreless innings, allows two hits, four strikeouts, and then the one walk. 59 pitches, pretty good outing for him. And again, that first inning was a little bit shaky, but we get a ground ball and get out of it. Maddox Miller maybe wasn't his best tonight. He goes 1 1/3, allows a hit, two walks, a pair of strikeouts. We'll need him to pitch this weekend. And then Peyton Fowler, great first inning of an appearance for him. And then, you know, we just struggled to get out of it. The next time we get two outs and then that's it. He didn't give up a single hit. We got a walk and two hit by pitches, and then two of those guys come around to score. So again, we aid in our own demise there, but four strikeouts. And again, I think Peyton's going to help us. Chris Billings, we just didn't have it tonight. He does not retire a hitter. He faces three batters and all three of them reach a hit by pitch and two hits. That's not good. There's 13 pitches. And just, again, inherited runners end up scoring. Tyler Pitzer was our post-game pitcher of the day. We spoke to him. You can watch that video for free over at jeanspage.com. He goes 1 1/3, and we just needed to get a hold. Just kind of slow the game down, and he does that. No runs, no hits. He did have a couple of walks. One of those I thought he got squeezed on a little bit, but also had a punch out. And then Dane Burns, two innings of scoreless and perfect relief. No walks, no hits. No runs, two strikeouts. So great job by Danny. Is credited with the save. Maddox Miller, despite the fact, did not pitch his best, earns the win, and is now 4-2 on the year. So, again, anytime we beat Ole Miss, it's a great thing. When we beat them every time, it's even better. You know, in 17, we won all four. In 19, we won all four. We had Dave Murray pull some numbers. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and you know, on this show, we absolutely believe in taking care of our mental health. The month of May is a reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. I tell you guys all the time, everybody needs somebody they can tell everything to. Life's a journey. Some days are good. Some days can feel overwhelming. Whatever is keeping you up at night, it's easy to feel like you may have to figure it all out by yourself. The truth of the matter is, no one has the corner of the market on good answers, and no journey should have to be taken alone. Having someone with you to listen, to understand, and support you can make all the difference in the world. Guys, I've had so many challenges in life, right? Guys, 2022 was a difficult year on me. And I relied on people that I trusted. And that's a network of people that I built up over decades. But the reality of it is maybe you feel a little alone with whatever you're dealing with. That's where BetterHelp comes in. Quality therapist. It will work according to a very strict code of conduct. They're fully licensed in the United States. There is also the therapist match commitment. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. There's a short questionnaire that helps you identify your needs and preferences. And our 12 plus years of experience and industry leading match fulfillment rate means we typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of those tailored recommendations. You don't have to do it alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com. For us, and I'll share with you what we found out. In the 2000s, I'm trying to go back here and just kind of look here. Since the turn of the century, Mississippi State leads 57-47. And both teams had 4-0 seasons against each other twice. In addition to that, Bulldogs back in 2003 went 5-1 against Ole Miss because we faced them twice in this SEC tournament. So six times that we played them. That's the most in the modern era. You know, we used to play home and homes against everybody within our division. So just a few numbers we thought we'd point out because, like, one of the latest brackets has Ole Miss playing State in a, I guess technically it would be a third-round game in Hoover. Like, Ole Miss would get one bye, State would get a double, and Ole Miss would need to win a game to play us. So we may have the opportunity to play them again, and I think you guys would be excited about that, especially in a big ballpark like Hoover. I just don't think that the Ole Miss offensive philosophy can consistently win games alone. Now, they've had some good pitching with Hunter Elliott, who maybe isn't having the year many people envision. Townsend has been good. Thought they had a little bit of a narrow plate this weekend, going back and kind of talking to some people. Felt like they got squeezed a little bit. Both teams, Georgia and Ole Miss both, small plate tends to help the offense. So we'll see what happens as we progress here. But big night for Mississippi State. And many of you are wondering too, like a lot of people were asking me before the game, you know, Steve, what do we gain by playing us? We already got three wins over them. Well, you know, you gain nothing if you lose, right? But they were ahead of us in the RPI. Well, that's now changed. Mississippi State is now 12 in the RPI, and Ole Miss drops to 14. So State now ahead of them in the standings, as we have been, by two games. We are four games better than them in the win column and the overall record, and now ahead of them in the RPI. So, again, as we get ready to head to Texas, and we'll have more on Texas a little bit later, you begin to look at this thing and say, you know what, yeah, it was absolutely worth going down there. And having the opportunity to play that game. It also helps your non-conference RPI and scheduling, strength of schedule. It's because of the fact that this was technically a non-conference game, even though Ole Miss is a Southeastern Conference opponent. That's an important aspect to remember this thing, too. So that's your recap of the game. And I can tell you, it was so nice to meet so many of you. They didn't feed us, and so, well, I guess they fed us a little bit later. But I went down to get a few things from the concession stand, had a chance to run into many of you, and it's so nice to, you know, kind of put names with faces and, you know, Twitter accounts and that sort of stuff. And but it's so great that we take the show on the road around the great state of Mississippi. And I thought about this in postgame. I didn't ask Oak about it, but I thought about this. You know, we have played this year, and this happens a lot of years, but we have played in Starkville, obviously. We have played in Oxford. We have played in Hattiesburg. We have played in Biloxi, and now we have played in Pearl. And it gives so many of you a chance to go see the Bulldogs play somewhere close to you. Obviously, we love you coming to Starkville. I know you love coming up here. But in the first year of the Brian O'Connor era, we have spent some time letting you guys get a chance to enjoy the Bulldogs coming to your neck of the woods. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I will tell you my thoughts on, a lot of people ask about this, what are my thoughts on the governor's game? No other SEC school does this. Nobody. I still think it's a good thing. I just don't like it this late in the year. I think you got to figure that out. You can't continue to play the governor's game and then it happened, you know, with 3 weeks to go in the regular season. Because right now, everybody's arms are a little bit tender. And so as a result, I think the quality of the game is hurt somewhat by the date. You're playing this game April 28th when we have 3 weekends left, I don't think is the best idea. I think you got to figure out a way to play it earlier. And I'm not saying don't play it in April, but I think you got to play it earlier in the year when guys and teams are a little bit fresh and you've got that big ballpark, so you're not as reluctant to run a young arm out there against an SEC team to see if they're SEC ready. I just don't know. Hey, we love the RPI boost, but the reality of it is I just think that we're better off playing this earlier. I know some people want to abolish the game. I'm really not in favor of that. If the game had rained out tonight, I can't say that I would have been totally upset. Because I just didn't want to lose the game. I didn't want to lose the game and lose the RPI points. We get a best-case scenario. We win, and we flip-flop with Ole Miss in the RPI. And as we shared, you know, we got some teams around us that have some difficult schedules, as do we, and some other teams have more favorable schedules. And so every time that we can get an RPI boost, that's a good thing. And so it works out good for the Bulldogs tonight. All right, time for today's top 10 list. And again, we'll be quick with this. Brought to you by Close with Blair. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. He's a great guy. Known him for a long time. But several of you that have closed loans with Blair. Get his 25 years of know-how and expertise working directly for you. He knows all the ins and outs of underwriting. Can be your advocate with the underwriter to ensure that you have the best chance for approval. And you know what? If you're not ready, he can help you get ready. That's one of those same things you look at and you kind of get excited about, right? Is the fact that you've got somebody that knows what they're doing. There's not a lot of guesswork with Blair. Give him a call at 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Whether it's your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler, licensed in multiple states. So don't just think this is just a Mississippi thing. Give him a call today. He can probably do business in your neck of the woods too. All right, I'm throwing a curveball. We are going to do Dream Theater on Friday. We'll do it, which will actually be Thursday night. But we will do Dream Theater. We had a request. I thought we had done Dream Theater. I thought so. But we will do it. We had a request for either Dream Theater or ZZ Top. Obviously, we did ZZ Top back in the infancy of the top 10 list, but for some reason, we have not done Dream Theater. We will do that on Friday. Today, though, and just for no reason at all, how about songs with four in the title, right? I mean, just no reason whatsoever. I mean, the number four doesn't mean anything to us right now, does it? Maybe it does. So here we go. We'll go quickly. The band Cold Sweat, led by Mark Ferrari, formerly the guitar player of Keel. I love this album. The production value is probably not what the album deserves, but it's Cold Sweat's Four on the Floor. And some of you don't understand what that means. You know, it's a four-speed, right? It's a fast car. Number nine, Lynyrd Skynyrd's Four Walls of Rayford. I think the demo version's the only thing available out there these days. But it's worth your time and trouble. Number eight, Chicago's 25 or 6 to 4. 25 or 6 to 4. Things change a little bit with them. Number seven, Neil Young's Four Strong Winds. That's one I think you'll enjoy. Number six, Bachman Turner Overdrive, four-wheel drive. So we've got four on the floor, and now we've got a four-wheel drive. Number five, throwing a little bit of a curveball here too, it's the band Cake. Friend is a four-letter word. Friend is a four-letter word. Number four, kind of taking some liberties here because it is my show. We're going with Shinedown, 45. 45. Yeah, a little bit of a bend there, but anytime we can work in a great Shinedown song, we want to do that for you. Number three, it's His Majesty the Prince. Off the Purple Rain soundtrack, it's I Would Die For You. right? And of course, that's kind of how they close it after Apollonia and Prince have kind of reconciled and everything's great. And everybody's happy. I would die for you. Number two, it's Led Zeppelin's Four Sticks. Four Sticks. And number one, how could it be anything else? It's Metallica's Four Horsemen. Four Horsemen. Again, for just no reason at all, the number four just kind of appealed to me, and I thought, let's put a top 10 together about the number four, right? So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Simonte on X, and he's got all of these lists up to date now on Spotify under the same handle as his Twitter account, Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. DawgMatic67. 67 is his birth year because he is much, much, much older than me. But that's what he went with. So, yeah, follow him on social media, follow him on Spotify, and you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. And you can tag me and stuff. Roy's more likely to see it. I get a lot of notifications. That's not a flex. I'm just kind of telling you. You might tweet at me, and I don't see it. And so you can DM me if you follow me or if I follow you. I don't know what all the rules are these days. You know, it's kind of like smoking. You can only do it in your room with the, you know, all the lights off, under the covers. There's something, right? But anyway, Roy is the best option for you. Please hit him up with your ideas for the top 10 list. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We have for a long time. Why? Well, they have the things we want. What do we want? More Mississippi State merch. When it's gift buying time in your life, don't overthink it. Don't get cute. Don't try to build a better mousetrap. Just buy all the Bulldogs in your life more Mississippi State merch. It's the kind of stuff that we would buy ourselves if we had unlimited income, and we don't. And so you can make our lives easier by just buying us more Mississippi State merch. Take the guesswork out of gift buying and just go to Campus Bookmart and pick up some great Mississippi State merch, whether it's apparel, whether it's gift ideas, decorative items for the home, the office. Maybe you need some things to kind of get through your tailgating. You can get a Duty Noble Field approved cooler, plenty of M over S merch, and football season's just around the corner. I say that. We're about 4 months away. Be thinking about that. We got a lot to happen between now and then, but it's never too early to start thinking about your tailgating supplies, and you can find plenty at Campus Bookmart. Visit them on the World Wide Web if you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's Internet, and use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's look back at the night that was in the SEC. Kind of a wild night, too, to be quite honest with you. Kind of a wild night. Not a lot of upsets, but still kind of wild. Georgia, really, really, really playing well. They're 35-11, but offensively, if you can't keep pace with them, chances are you're going to lose. Our friends Troy, Skylar Mead, and the boys, they get mercy ruled in Athens by the score of 11-1, and it was not much of a game. Georgia jumps out to a 2-0 lead in the second. They get two in the fourth, two in the fifth, and then five in the sixth, and Troy gets one run in the seventh, and that's it. Brock Tapper, former Diamond Dog, pitched two in the third innings, allowed four hits and two runs for the Trojans. Trey Phelps, two for three. With an RBI and a home run in the game for Georgia. Middle Tennessee really put up not much of a fight at all against Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, of course, still kind of buying and trying to make the tournament. The Blue Raiders score one in the third, but by that time it was already a 3-0 ball game. And then Vanderbilt answers back with three in the bottom of third, three in the fourth, and they coast to a 9-1 win. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way with them. But West Georgia and Tennessee, no game there at all. Tennessee, 9-0 after 2. It's 10 after 4, 11 after 5, and then 13 after 6. And then the ref steps in and stops it in the 7th. West Georgia, 11-34 on the year, just four hits in the ballgame. Trent Grandlinger, former Diamond Dog, signee, still red hot. He's your co-SEC freshman of the week. He goes 2-for-2 in the win over West Georgia. I don't know if we can call this an upset, but the Citadel rolls into Founders Park and they shut out the Gamecocks 4-0. It was 2-0 after three, and they tacked on 1-7 to 1-9. The Citadel with 11 hits in this ball game. South Carolina limited to just 3 hits. Talmadge LaCroix 1-for-3 in a losing effort. Zane Davis, the winning pitcher in relief for the Citadel. So 4-0, the final. Of course, you know about State and Ole Miss. Tarleton State gave A&M all they wanted and then some. And Tarleton State, good in their league, 28-16 overall, 8-4 in the conference. A&M jumps out 3-0 after two, and it just kind of stays there for a while. And then it's a 5 spot in the fourth for Tarleton State. They take a 5-3 lead. In the bottom of 6, A&M ties it. It's now 5-5. But then Tarleton State's like, no, we're not done. They put up 2 in the sixth. But then A&M matches them with 2 to tie it back up to make it a 7-7 ball game. And then the final blow comes in the 8th as the Aggies score a pair to win it 9-7. They actually got out hit by Tarleton State 13-11. Caden Sorrell, the very talented player of the Aggies, 3-for-5 in a ball game with 2 solo home runs. Another barn burner of a game involving a team from Texas. Sam Houston State, the Bearcats. You know, we played them out in Frisco back when Matt Deggs was their coach. He's a good coach. He has been. And I tell you what, Sam Houston was ready to play. They got a losing record overall, 20-25, 9-12 in their league. They gave number 4 Texas a real fight tonight. Sam Houston jumps out 3-0 in the first. Texas with 2. Makes it a 1-run ball game after 2. And then the Bearcats put up a 5 spot in the third to make it an 8-2 ball game. Texas gets one back, and then Sam Houston takes that one back in the fourth. Now all of a sudden it's 9-3. And then Texas got going. 5 in the fifth, 3 in the sixth. Bearcats wouldn't go quietly, though. They put up 3 themselves in the seventh. Texas gets an insurance run back in the eighth. And then crazily, Sam Houston takes the lead in the ninth. 14-12. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Sam Houston on the road at Austin at Dish Falk Field leads in the ninth 14-12. But they couldn't close. Texas walks it off with a 3 spot to win it 15-14. How wild is that? Nathan Fink from Sam Houston goes 4-for-4 in the ballgame. Aiden Robbins, very talented center fielder from Texas. We'll see a lot of him this weekend. Goes 2-for-6 with a home run and 2 RBI. No trouble for LSU tonight. The Southeastern, of course, has given them some trouble, and that's a very solid mid-major. There's a lot of kids at Southeastern that are kind of auditioning maybe for a portal possibility with LSU at some other point. But it was a game early. The Lions go up 1-0. LSU counters with 2 to make it a 2-1 ball game. And then in the second, Southeastern gets 3. They take a 4-2 lead, and then LSU counters with 3. And so now all of a sudden it's a 5-4 game as we head to the middle innings, and LSU tacks on in the fifth and the sixth. And finally, a 5 spot in the seventh to cap the scoring is the Tigers win 12-4. Danny Lackenmeyer, we saw him twice over the weekend. He gets the win in relief. Derek Curiel, who didn't do much against Mississippi State, goes 3-for-4 in the game with a home run and 2 RBI. A lot of other action was canceled around the league. Missouri and Southeastern Missouri State, that game was canceled. Northwestern State and Arkansas was canceled. They will make that game up on Wednesday. Oklahoma and Texas Tech was scheduled to play at Riders Field in Frisco, Texas. We've been there. That game was canceled. A lot of this weather we're dealing with now went through the greater Texas area. So if you're interested in some college baseball on Wednesday, and it's interesting to me that Arkansas went to the effort to play this game anyway, maybe it's got something to do with Dave having coached at Northwestern State. I don't know. But nevertheless, that game will be played at 3 o'clock Central on Wednesday. 3 o'clock Central on Wednesday. Taking a quick peek ahead, we do have one series starting on Thursday. Vanderbilt will visit Alabama. Vanderbilt 27-19 overall, 10-11 in the conference. Alabama 29-16 and then 10-11. So this could be an interesting weekend if somebody can get a sweep. I don't know that they can. It's tough to get sweeps this time of year. But if Vandy, you know, Vandy's fighting to get in. Alabama's still kind of hanging in there with a pretty solid RPI. But this could be detrimental to them if Vandy's able to close this thing out. And a lot of people think Vandy is going to make the tournament. And I'm not totally opposed to that either. The better they do, the better it helps us. But their RPI is a plus four right now. They are 65 in the RPI, which is not great. Not great. So the more games they win, the better it is for Mississippi State. And you look like Kentucky is 35 in the RPI, and they're 27-15 and 9-12 in the league. You know, a game behind Vanderbilt, but because Nick Mangione knows how to schedule, you know, they're right there in the thick of it. And that's the thing you think about, as bad as the overall record looks at times, and certainly the league record, when you're right there at 35 in the RPI, you still have the possibility to play your way into this thing. But Kentucky needs some things to go their way. As we discussed the other day, they've got some difficult games on the schedule ahead. So Bulldogs have three top five RPI teams left in the next three weekends to go. So it's all within our reach. You know, we're going to have to go win some games against some difficult teams, as we've talked about. Over the course of the last 2 weeks, we have played exceptionally well, but we've played the teams that are 15th and 16th in the league. No matter how talented they may be, no matter what our reputation may be or theirs may be, they are 15th and 16th. That is an irrefutable fact of life. So we can't delude ourselves into thinking that all of a sudden, hey, we're just world beaters. Now, one thing I will say that's interesting is that, you know, we've won nine straight games. Now, again, are those teams on the same level as us? You know, I would say LSU probably is, even though I think we have more depth in the lineup. We have more length in the lineup. But it kind of is what it is, right? You don't make out your conference schedule, right? That's just kind of how it is. And I'm looking at something here right now, too, just because I want you guys to know. The current win streak, and I don't think this is correct. I think this is like, I want to look at the current win streaks. Current win streaks. Yeah, that it's not right. It's not right. I think that's like I don't know what that is. Because Mississippi State's won nine in a row, and we're not listed here. And it's just different from what we've seen, you know. So I don't know. I'll have to find that, and we'll look at it. I was trying to see maybe if we were close, you know. You know what? I'm looking at the wrong thing. Let me double check here. Current win streaks in baseball. That helps, right? That helps. Current win streaks in baseball 2026, that helps even more. And it's still not right. I don't know what that's about. I don't know. That's the home winning streaks. Let me look at this. I don't know why it's so hard. Yeah, Mississippi State now has the longest active winning streak in the nation. So I'm so glad we put forth the effort to find this. The two teams that were ahead of us, I know Southern was one. I can't remember who the other one was. But now Mississippi State now owns the longest active winning streak in the nation with nine games. The Jacksonville Dolphins right behind us with eight. And then San Diego State and Wagner with eight as well. Kansas at seven. So the Bulldogs, again, how cool is that? Longest active streak in the country right now. Brian O'Connor didn't know that we'd won nine in a row. I'm sure he knew, but then maybe in the moment I said, yeah, it's nine in a row. Oh, is it really? Yes, it is, Coach. It is nine in a row. So we got to keep going. I joke with him, let's go get three more this weekend. He goes, let's just win on Friday and see what happens. Yeah, that's the right attitude, Coach, for sure. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. Right? Be sure and check it out. You can Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. That gives you a chance to look at all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. You're going to spend a lot of time there. Even in the summertime, lighting the fire is a cool thing. Conversations around a fire are just more meaningful. I don't make the rules. I just follow them, right? As part of that Google search, you're going to see some booking options. Airbnb, Vrbo. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. That gets you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you're getting a discount at the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle. You don't have to bring a large group. It could just be you and your significant other, or you can stay by yourself. It makes no difference to me. But the reality of it is you owe it to yourself to make some memories with those you love the most. We stayed there for New Year's in 25, had a blast. We hope to do it again soon. My mom still talks about the trip, how great it was to have four generations under one roof. Game time, meal time, everything is more meaningful when everybody is together. Make plans to get everybody together in your life at the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, in case you haven't kept up, Mississippi State has picked up a few commitments for the 2026 class since we have spoken. Now, we talked about Terrence Love and Jamari Freeman. We'll give you a quick recap. Okay, Jamari Freeman was a guy that was highly coveted, one of the more highly coveted offensive linemen in the portal still remaining. And it boiled down to State in Arkansas in the end. He visited Auburn. Picks Mississippi State, believes that he's going to come in and win a starting spot. Basically, as I shared the other day, he is the guy that gives you some flex. Like in the event you have to slide DJ Chester to center, Jamari Freeman can kind of handle the guard spot. Probably guy that gets 250 snaps. Kind of think Trevor Mayberry, right? That's kind of the role that he fits. Terrence Love, of course, transfers in. He is a safety from Colorado. Began his career at Auburn. He's out of Georgia. Spent 2 years at Auburn, played in 22 games, transferred to Colorado, things didn't go well, played in a season opener, and then didn't play the rest of the year, and ultimately left the team. But he's heading here to kind of reboot his career. We feel like that's a guy, it's a former 247 Sports four-star, so he has some potential. Hopefully we can get it out of him. And so, yeah, again, State been pretty busy in that respect. And then you pick up Lorenzo Cammon, who is out of Victor Valley College. He is a 6'4", 260-pounder, so I think he's really more of a 5-tech, more so than an edge or a 7-technique. But another guy that's kind of, you know, equipped to rush the passer. And then today, earlier today, you pick up Douglas Adams III. What's interesting about Douglas Adams, guys, he has 20 offers. Now, State obviously is the biggest one, but I'm going to run them down for you. And again, you know, it's not going to be an offer sheet that just jumps off the page at you. But to add him basically as the last member of your 105-man roster is very interesting. You got Akron, Texas San Antonio, Colorado State, Idaho, James Madison, Northern Illinois, East Tennessee State, East Texas A&M, where he was once committed, Eastern Illinois, Grambling, North Alabama, Northern Arizona, Southeastern Louisiana, Southern Utah, Stephen F. Austin, Tarleton State, UT Martin, West Georgia, Texas, Rio Grande Valley. Now, a lot of FCS schools on there. But I think what we're talking about here is just kind of raising the floor, right? How many times in the past have we just taken a walk-on or somebody like that to fill out the roster? But this is a guy that had options. Now, Lorenz Cammon had some options too, not as many. But he had Mississippi State, Kent State, Southern Miss, Delaware State, and East Texas A&M. And so what the reason that's notable to me is just because of the fact we've had so many players in the past that have come here without any other options. You know, they come here and they're happy to be part of the program and they practice and get their practice gear, and that's just kind of the end of it. But the fact that we're taking guys to kind of fill out our roster that had multiple scholarship opportunities out there, and they chose us. They could have gone to a smaller school and probably played a lot more. But they're like, you know what, hey, this is the SEC. This is Mississippi State. Gives me an opportunity to be part of an SEC program. And these guys, too, got a couple years of eligibility to work with. You know, and the fact that they're coming in so late, won't have the benefit of spring practice. No, we don't expect them to be difference makers. But if you watch Douglas Adams tape, I think you're going to be very surprised. I really do. There's some quick twitch with him, and I think there's an opportunity for him to maybe be a pass rushing specialist on third and long. That's just kind of something to watch. Zach Arnett will know how to use these guys. But I think it's interesting, too, we've added so many guys here as of late on the defensive side of the football. Yeah, and that should be good news for you too, right? You begin to kind of work through that aspect of it. You begin to realize that you got some guys that have options. They're going to be back in the roster type guys. And as it stands right now, we've had 20 enrollees from the high school and junior college ranks. We have 10 other guys that have signed that will enroll the first session of summer school, hopefully. Some will probably be second semester guys. And then you've got Dre Ote, a guy that reclassed and committed, and I'm sure he signed by now. We'll double check on all this stuff. But, a lot of guys that are going to be showing up in summer school that didn't have spring practice. And, again, you add Jamari Freeman and Terrence Love to that, and then Dre and Lorenz and Douglas. That gives you five. So 15 new Bulldogs will be joining the program this summer. So, again, it's been quite the roster rebuild over the course of the last three recruiting cycles for Jeff Lebby. But as I share with you guys, we look like a different football team. Now, last year, we had what looked like Power 5 size and skill with our first team really at every level. This year, it appears we do on our two deep. And so, again, it's been a long process, and people ask me all the time, do you think we have a winning season? I do, and I know it's going to be more difficult, but I think the defense will make the difference and give us more opportunities to get the football back and then score offensively. And I think the fact that we're adding some depth pieces on defense kind of speaks to kind of where we are right now too. Of course, there's not a lot of difference makers left in the portal. And one of the things that we've learned, a lot of these guys that are still in the portal are not academically eligible. And many of them are not in school right now. And so they not only are they not eligible, they don't have the opportunity to get eligible. So as a result, you go get a couple JUCO guys, and there's some guys within our building that done a great job kind of sorting through film and finding guys that could come here and make some type of contribution. And so we're grateful for the effort, and now we're grateful to have these young men as part of our football program. That's an exciting thing for us. And so, again, while it may not raise our ceiling, it raises our floor. Because how many times in years past have we really just not had guys? And you saw 2 years ago, we're having to put offensive players on defense to run the scout team. Now you don't have to do that. And so, again, we're kind of finally getting back to the ability to run this program like an SEC program should be run. And I think that is a very important thing, and I think it speaks well for this season and maybe the future of the Jeff Lebby era. So that's where we are. And based on what we know, that now brings Mississippi State completely full with the 105-man roster. We don't expect any other additions from the junior college ranks or the portal. It now appears that the 2026 class is now officially finished. And what's interesting, too, looking back at this, the composite rank of this class is 23 in the country. And that's with a couple of guys from the junior college ranks that have recently been added that haven't been ranked. And not that I expect them to make a big difference in the ranking, but it is a top 25 class. And I think that's important to understand. We hadn't had a ton of those in the last several years. But Jeff Lebby, I think, has done a good job. And, again, we've got a ton of guys, new guys, already here for the spring. I'm just kind of watching these guys as they go through their drills. You like what you got, and you feel like, hey, these guys are only going to get better. And so, again, we got some names that we'll watch. And I got to make sure that these junior college guys, these late high school and junior college guys have now signed. There are three of those that we've got to check. Now, Douglas Adams is a guy, too, that may not be a first session of summer school guy. I understand he's got some work to do. So maybe second session, could be even the beginning of fall camp. So I don't want to overhype the guy, but I just want to say that this is a guy that may be able to help us a little bit this year. But, again, a lot of people have wondered, what else is there to do? And I think now we know. Now there's nothing else to do, and we can now go full bore in 2027. And to get all this kind of finished up here in the month of April, and then think about the fact that right now we have seven commitments for the 2027 class, and that class is currently ranked 27th in the country. And we do expect to add another four-star sooner rather than later, right? Just kind of throwing that out there. There's some other guys out there that will be joining the class that we feel very good about. And then we'll get into the month of June and the official visits. And the bulk of your class will be put together before we even take the field this fall. So should be a busy stretch in late May and then throughout the month of June. And, of course, we hope to be playing postseason baseball, hopefully headed to Omaha. So we'll have to kind of split our coverage a little bit too. And a lot of good things happening, right? But it feels so much better when you win, right? It's just everything when you win, it just feels like things fall in place and you feel like you're headed in the right direction. And yes, we were happy to make a bowl game last year, but we don't expect to make one this year based on APR. We expect to make it on actually earning bowl eligibility. And again, you look at the schedule. This is the neighborhood in which we live. It's not going to be an easy schedule. But I believe with the advances that we make on defense, it's going to give us a better chance to earn bowl eligibility and to give Jeff Lebby and this offense a chance to put more points on the board. Because, I go back, it's just a nightmare to think against Texas, we're up 17 with 12 minutes to go and somehow managed to lose the ball game. Right? And you had the game won. Deontay Anderson gets flagged for a personal foul on Arch Manning. He just throws the ball up for grabs and it falls incomplete. And we give them a first down. They go down and score. Next thing you know, we're back in a barn burner of a game and we lose, right? I firmly believe if Zach Arnett's calling defensive plays, up 17, 12 minutes to go, we're winning that ball game. We actually had the ball on offense. We just couldn't get it done. And I think having Phillip Montgomery as a former head coach helps Lebby too, maybe manage things a little bit. Hey, Jeff, let's slow it down a little bit. Because Jeff is one of these guys that always wants to throw the knockout punch, right? And you love that, too, because you want to play to win. But sometimes discretion is a better part of valor. Again, reminder, it's always a great thing when you beat Ole Miss, no matter what it is, no matter if it's Chinese checkers or tiddlywinks or football or baseball or whatever. We're always happy to win. But we can now kind of put Ole Miss in our rearview mirror unless we see them in the SEC tournament. And we will record the Friday show Thursday night because we got to get up early, early Friday morning to get to Austin, Texas in time for first pitch. And there is some wet weather in the forecast for Friday at Austin, but I'm not going to be one of those people that kind of just assumes, right? Because how many people didn't turn out for the governor's game because they're worried about the rain, and then we ultimately play the game and win the game. The broadcast was a complete disaster in the beginning, and really, we began to get feedback from all of you, and we began to share that with the people there, and they were doing the best they could. There was just a couple things that weren't plugged in correctly. It was their first time having a college game, and they did get it fixed, and I understand the broadcast was better. It wasn't great, but it was better. And the main thing is you guys get a chance to see the ball game. And there was a time in our lives we didn't get to do that. We had to listen to the radio and just kind of trust what we heard rather than what we saw. But nevertheless, those of you that did get to see it, despite the production problems early in the game, you got to see a Bulldog win. In any year that we go 4-0 against Ole Miss, when both of us are playing well, is a big thing. It truly is. And I just think Justin Parker has their number. I think Justin Parker understands how to formulate a pitching plan to kind of keep this Ole Miss offense at bay. Because even if you go back and look at the Friday game in Oxford, a lot of that we gave them, right? It's like, hey, give them some credit here, but we were kind of co-conspirators in our own demise, and that was kind of the case tonight too. We allowed that game to be a little closer than it really was because we made some mistakes and didn't execute some pitches. You hit some guys, you walk some guys, you leave some balls up, and you get beat on that kind of stuff. And so, if we go out there and play our game, and listen, you're not going to throw a lot of your premium arms in a midweek game, even though it is Ole Miss. I know many of you want, hey, let's just go out there and just get the win. We have to think about the bigger picture, as does Ole Miss, right? They have to think about, hey, we're still in the hosting discussion too, and we got to go to Arkansas, and that's a tough place to play. Now, Arkansas, obviously, not nearly as good as they have been, so I don't know how raucous those crowds will be. But Arkansas is a team that has kind of lived on starting pitching this year. So perhaps maybe they mimic what we've done against Ole Miss and they can kind of keep Judd Uedermark from hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Maybe they can keep Tristan Bassetta from hitting the ball out of the ballpark, right? All of that's important type stuff. But, you know, I think that we've done enough now and Ole Miss has done enough now that, you know, we can kind of root against them just because of the fact we want to make sure that we stay ahead of them in the hosting discussion. And I spoke with some Ole Miss officials down in Pearl, and I said, you know, I don't think they're going to give us three hosting spots. And they just said, it'll probably be us that gets left out because of what we have remaining on the schedule. Guess we got three top five RPI teams left on the schedule. And somebody asked me, what's the worst case? I think we could go 4-5 and still host. I think with 17 wins in the Southeastern Conference, we would still host. And I think if you win a game in Hoover, you're probably in even better shape. I'd love to be at 18, though, before we go to Hoover. I think 5-4 is good enough. We're not going to catch Georgia to win the SEC championship. But if you can get to 18, I think that gives you a fighting chance to be a top eight national seed because there are some teams ahead of us in the RPI that are going to drop. I mean, that's just kind of how things are. You know, there's some teams, obviously, that their schedule was rather front-loaded. And so now they're playing some teams with RPI of over 100. And so that is going to negatively impact the strength of schedule and the RPI. We only have one game left against a team that, is not expected to host a regional, and that's Nicholl State, right? I mean, so, and that's another thing, too, that we haven't talked about enough, is Mississippi State is taking care of business in the midweek this year, save the loss down at Southern Miss in a game we should have won, too, right? But when you start kind of looking ahead of us, we're 12. Now, does Nebraska hang on? You know, they're at 11 in the RPI and 17-4 in their conference, which is not traditionally a good baseball conference. But, you know, when you look at what they have left, you know, on the schedule, I think that's important to look at. They've got Ohio State RPI of 115. And that's on the road, so you know you get the benefit of winning games on the road. But you know, the Buckeyes and Justin Hare just 21-21. Then Iowa 72 in the RPI, Minnesota 79. So there's just not a lot of upward mobility there for them. I think if anything, they're kind of an easy mark, kind of moving forward. USC right there at 10, and you think, okay, well they should be in a solid hosting discussion, and you're right, they should be. However, here's what they have left. Rutgers with a 127 RPI. Cal State Fullerton in the midweek, 82 in the RPI. Then Nevada, four games against Nevada, RPI of 139. And then they have to travel to Oregon, who's 26 in the RPI. So you've got a resume building opportunity at Oregon, but that's going to be, I think, a little more difficult than you think. Probably works out to be a split one way or the other. Southern Miss right there at 9 in the RPI, and a lot of people wonder why. It's because it got so many quality midweek wins over Power 5 opponents. However, here's what they have left. No RPI building opportunities. In fact, they lose to Tulane, who was RPI 123. This weekend, they will host Louisiana Monroe, who is RPI 141. Then they travel to James Madison, who is RPI 154, and close it out with Georgia Southern, who is RPI 222. So that Southern Miss strength of schedule and RPI is going to take some dips here in the days ahead. And somehow, again, I think the Sun Belt kind of conspired to make sure Southern and Coastal didn't play each other for the second consecutive year. Oregon State right there at 8, 34-9. And people asked me earlier, how does this happen? Well, I'll tell you what, how their RPI is so good. They've only played 19 games at home out of 43. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. They've played 22 games away from their home field. And you know, when you're not in a conference, that's kind of what happens. But again, when you look at what's left for them, they beat Rio Grande Valley, who's RPI 112. They're playing them again tomorrow. This weekend, Cal State Northridge, RPI 204. A road game at Portland at 95. And then they get Long Beach, RPI of 260. And then Portland again. And then Air Force at RPI 160. So again, you begin to kind of look at these things and you realize there are some teams – immediately ahead of us that are going to see their RPI drop because of the quality of their remaining competition. On Mississippi State side of things, this is where, win or lose, this helps you. Of course, the win helps you the most. But you've got Texas with RPI of 3. Your non-conference game in the midweek against Nichols is RPI 114. Then you've got Auburn with RPI 5 and A&M RPI 4. Just by playing those teams, your RPI and strength of schedule gets better. But 3 top 5 RPI teams, and there's probably not anybody in the country that has exactly that kind of combination. So we take care of business and let the traffic clear around us. There is a pathway for Mississippi State to be a top 8 national seed. We may be number 8, but there is a pathway for us to do it. And again, I look at this Alabama team, and I am still not sold on them. They've won 29 games. Their RPI is number 6. Guys, they've lost. They're 3-7 in the last 10. So they're fading, right? And then you look at what's left on their schedule, and there's not a lot of games you look at and say, hey, they should absolutely win other than that trip to South Carolina. They'll host Vanderbilt. They go to Troy, which is RPI 57, and so you get the benefit of playing over there. And then you got to go to South Carolina, who's RPI 93. We don't play Alabama, so we're rooting hard for South Carolina because it helps our RPI, but it also helps us in the standings, and it hurts Alabama's RPI. And then they get Ole Miss, and we will be rooting hard for Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa to win that series. And so, again, you can work through this yourself. And you can kind of see that Mississippi State has a tremendous opportunity to move up into the top maybe 6 or 7 in the RPI, provided you win the right games. And you obviously don't take the big loss against Nicholls State. Against State, just the one midweek loss. And so you've got one midweek game left. You win that game, and that's another one of those things too. Mississippi State has been the only team in the SEC that has avoided the embarrassing midweek loss. The only one. And that's something that I think will factor into this thing. You win the series this weekend at Texas, which is easier said than done. You're a very solid top 10 RPI. Absolute solid RPI. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing. Keep winning. Let the teams in front of us play those RPI teams in the hundreds and the 200s. And then just kind of let the calculations work in our favor. So I know a lot of people are like, I don't understand. You just got to let things play out. Hey, that's going to do it for the show. Again, we'll be back on Thursday night. So you get your Wednesday show early. You'll get your Friday show early as well. And again, we'll be providing you in-person coverage from Mississippi State and Texas. And I can tell you that ride to Austin, Texas is going to be a whole lot more fun having beaten Ole Miss on Tuesday. Right, we got a lot of juice going in, and again, now the nation's longest winning streak at 9 games. If you hadn't done so, visit DutyNobleBook.com, and you get signed copies of all my sports titles, plus the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. You get 2 floats for $99 as part of our Mother's Day special. That's 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. Come join us over at JeansPage.com. If you're not a member already, then shame on you. You certainly should be. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.